The Whole Women's Health Clinic in Austin, Texas recently reopened 3 years after it was closed down, again now offering full gynecological care, including abortion services. The clinic was one of two dozen that closed in Texas after that state passed House Bill 2 in 2013. You probably remember. The law put restrictions on abortion providers, requiring doctors have admitting privileges at a local hospital, and clinics meet standards of ambulatory surgical centers like closet and hallway size. Last June, the Supreme Court struck down those requirements, saying they put an undue burden on a woman's right to have an abortion. But that was too late for many clinics in Texas that shut down for good, which is why many are cheering that this one is reopening in Austin, although anti-abortion activists in Texas say they may have lost this battle but are still winning the long-term war in the state over abortion. Amy Hagstrom-Miller is founder and CEO of Whole Woman's Health. She was a plaintiff in that Supreme Court case, Whole Woman's Health v. Hellerstedt, and she joins us by Skype. So, Amy, you won the Supreme Court battle. You're reopening in Austin. I'm imagining this feels like a victory.
You know, it feels really fantastic to be able to return to offering services. You know, the win that we had last summer was just fantastic on paper. It really set a strong precedent for women and families, not only in Texas, but across the country. But this phase, I think, to my team is even more meaningful because we're actually able to realize the effects of the win on paper and begin to basically reinstate the fabric of care that was really decimated by the law a few years ago.
But as you well know, anti-abortion activists very strong there in Texas are saying they're actually winning the long-term battle here. And Politico seems to agree. They've got a piece out how Texas is beating the Supreme Court on abortion, that Texas has taken what might have happened in a decade in other states and collapsed it into 1 year, and the progress they've made in shutting down clinics. I mean, isn't it true that most of the clinics there that shut down after the state law, before it was overturned by the Supreme Court, they can't reopen?
So I think one of the things that I've learned in the last few years is that just because Texas opposition says it's so doesn't necessarily make it true. And so I think what we've seen with the win that we had in the Supreme Court is a changing of the landscape of abortion rights work across the nation. 10 different states beyond Texas's borders have already used the Whole Woman's win in order to reinstate access in the states, to roll back trap laws, and to make things better for women. And so I think Texas, that's probably pretty hard on the anti-abortion movement in Texas to see that us fighting back actually helped people all over the country. And I think that they have tried to do lots of things since then. They did a little end run game through the administrative process, and they're trying to introduce lots of legislation this time around. That's nothing new. That's nothing different. Well, Texas has been doing that every time the legislature meets since the year 2000.
Well, then that's what people are pointing to, those smaller cuts into the fabric here, this idea that Texas has passed so many of these regulations. You even say that, you know, there are fewer abortion providers in the state. Many women have to travel hundreds of miles to receive care. It's such a vast state. Because of, I mean, name some of the smaller regulations that anti-abortion activists in Texas do say is going to add up to effectively overturning abortion rights.
Exactly. I mean, that's their strategy. They know they can't overturn Roe in the courts, and so they've tried to introduce as many restrictions as they can on the ground, which basically makes abortion legal on paper, but very difficult for people to access. And so HB2 was the omnibus one, you know, that closed, that we went from 44 clinics down to 18. Mm-hmm. But even before that, we have waiting periods, we have forced ultrasounds, we have a ban on Medicaid funding for abortion all throughout the state, we have restrictions on minors' ability to access abortion, et cetera. And so I think what we've seen, and this isn't only unique to Texas, what we have seen are states introducing regulations specifically targeting abortion as somehow different from other parts of healthcare, and targeting restrictions on abortion providers aimed at shutting clinics down because they know they can't get rid of the right on paper that women have as you know, guaranteed by the Constitution. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to come up with other ways to basically shut clinics down by any means necessary.
You write in an op-ed in the Dallas News recently that at least 46 anti-abortion bills have been introduced recently. This is at the state level. You talked about waiting periods. So a woman might have to wait 24 hours after getting to a clinic, but if there's nowhere to stay in the area and she's traveled days to get there, that's, in your view, onerous. There's a 30-page form, we understand, to be filled out. Women are asked to look at a video. What's the video?
So in women are asked to, well, basically, the doctor is forced to describe the ultrasound image to the woman when the doctor does the ultrasound 24 hours before the abortion. It has to be at least 24 hours. And the doctor is mandated to describe the image that's seen in the ultrasound. And the doctor is also mandated to read a script of what we call state-mandated information to every single woman one-on-one at least 24 hours before her procedure.
Well, we understand, for instance, as part of that, they're told that an abortion might cause breast cancer, but that's been disproved.
Exactly. And so that is something that the doctors are compelled to read to the patients. And then the doctor, of course, can share real medical evidence that disputes that. But that's a great example, Robin, of one of the things that the whole woman's health decision is going to allow us to overturn. Because basically, the Supreme Court ruled in our favor, saying that states can't just insert themselves between a woman's right to access abortion and what exists on paper without substantiating their assertions with medical evidence. Now, this is a huge change that happened last summer.
And a federal judge in another case you're involved in also blocked Texas regulations that forced Texas healthcare providers to bury or cremate embryonic or fetal tissue from abortions, miscarriage treatments for ectopic pregnancies, whether or not the patient wanted that. So you have had some victories. What do you do? Do you take all of these to court, all of the Texas requirements?
You know, that's a great question, Robin. The state filed those restrictions that you just referenced, the embryonic funeral, you know, sort of restrictions, 4 days after we won in the Supreme Court last summer. And so this is a strategy of the opposition to try to tie up our resources in lawsuits. And, you know, honestly, it's better for us if we can stop these things at the policy level, if we can stop bills like this from being introduced in the first place. But in places like Texas, when the opposition has the House and has the Senate and has the governor's mansion, the best that we can do is say, hey, we're going to challenge these things in the court system, because just because a woman lives in Texas doesn't mean her rights should be any different for her to access than if she lived in other parts of the country.
But again, Amy Hagstrom-Miller, again, founder and CEO of Whole Women's Health, a group of privately owned women's clinics that provides all gynecological services, including abortion services in Texas. Do you just keep fighting, or is there a point in which you say we are so hardened on each side of this divide? Is there something you can offer to the people in Texas who might want to come over to choice, but there's something holding them back? I mean, maybe they want to know that the woman has been counseled, I mean, which is, you know, outrageous to women who don't want to be talked to about their health decisions. But is there some, I mean, we are so deep in this divide. Is there something that in your camp you're talking about maybe offering to women and men on the other side?
Oh, you know, I come into the work from a human rights and justice framework. I understand the moral and ethical complexity that people face with unplanned pregnancy. In no way am I trying to simplify it as just sort of a rights conversation. And I have instituted some of those kinds of things internally in my office based on what women care about and what women want.
What do you mean? Like counseling or what?
Yeah, absolutely. And to me, that should be determined upon what the woman needs, not what the state is telling us to do. So if she wants to bring her loved ones into the clinic, if she wants to see her ultrasound, if she wants to have counseling, absolutely, that is part of our compassionate approach to women. However, that's not something that the state should come in and mandate to people any differently in abortion services than other kinds of medical care that people need.
That's Amy Hagstrom-Miller, founder and CEO of Whole Women's Health. These are privately owned women's clinics that provide gynecological services, including abortion, around the country, including in Texas. And she was able to reopen the Austin, Texas clinic just a few days ago after last year winning that case in the Supreme Court. Amy, thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Robin.